And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on the radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray. Rock Cod Rick Max is quickly selling tackle here at the big tackle sale at Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Corey Sandin is co-hosting today with me, and great to have Corey. And what a couple of great guests we have, Lyle Belquist and Elena Sadal. They're scientists. They're fisheries biologists. They do all kinds of stuff to study fish so we can go catch them. So anyway, we're going to be talking some fun stuff here with these two. They're actually also fishing people, too. So you stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The President's Day Sell-A-Thon is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. New inventory is arriving daily, and they have great deals across the Ford lineup. Plus, save big when you custom order some of the most popular Ford vehicles. That's right, deals on custom orders, so you can get exactly what you want from your new Ford. Need a legendary Ford F-150? They'll help you build and order the exact truck of your dreams. Ford Ranger? Get it built for you, by you. Or order the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. But President's Day sell-a-thon won't last long. Check out these deals today. We want your trade. So swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see these President's Day deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish-finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1 1/2 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. This is one of those fun shows I like to be a part of. So thrilled to have you here, and perfect timing, too, because we've just been chewing our ears off here talking to Lion and Elaine and getting all kinds of great information. And we have such an exciting and unique show for you here today to talk about the inside of fisheries and biology and stuff like that. And they are, like I said, they're fishing people. So they're one of us for sure. Good morning, Lyle and Elena.
Hi, Pete.
Morning. Hi. Great to see you. We haven't seen you in a long time. Where have you been?
It's been a long time.
We've been in the Great White North.
Yeah.
It's been fabulous.
Yeah. You're Canadian.
I'm Canadian. Yeah. Actually, though, I'm American now, too.
Oh, you are?
I got my citizenship in May.
Congratulations. Yeah, so now you're turning Lyle into a Canadian.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, that's cool.
Slowly becoming honorary Canadian.
Yeah.
Canadian, eh?
Now Canadian, can he become a dual citizen, too, in Canada?
We haven't really looked into it. I think in he's got to kind of move there.
Yeah.
So we're in San Diego. But
yeah. There is a process to do it, but not really much of a need. We still live here in San Diego.
He's picked up enough of the culture. He's like honorary at this point.
Yeah, he can spend enough time up there. Yeah. And then you come back here and... What best of both worlds,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Fun to get up there and do some epic fishing. There's lots of options up there.
Yeah. So now let's kind of describe what you guys do. Of course, Elena, we see you at the measuring fish all the time for the Sport Fishing Association of California. You work for Ken and SAC, right?
Yeah, I've been with SAC since 2013, which is... blows my mind when I think about
it. I know. That. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's
going to
be 10 years next year.
It's amazing. It's been
10 years already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I moved here in 2012 to go to Scripps, and then I met Ken while I was a grad student, and then I met Lyle through some of the tagging work, because that was almost a decade ago now, too.
Was it really?
I know.
And
crazy.
People are still like, hey, man, like, how's the tagging going?
Yeah.
it's good. It's just a different program that's expanded. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been amazing. And, yeah, working for SAC has been one of the best moves I've ever made.
Yeah. And they do so many good things in so many ways. And this is kind of one of the things that isn't in the forefront that they do in this the fisheries part of it, right? Your work.
Yeah. So I work on the fisheries science and sort of help the CPFV fleet work with managers and groups like the Nature Conservancy and DFW and
NOAA
and things like that. So... the work that I focus on is the tuna program, which a lot of people know about, which we are in year 8 now, which blows my mind again.
Just the tagging program?
Yeah, so we don't actually tag the bluefin, or it's all tunas actually that we encounter here, but we're the crews on the boats are measuring the fish at sea. So there's been about 25 SAC boats involved throughout the last 8 years. Right now we have 13 kind of core guys that are working on it. And they're measuring mostly bluefin and yellowfin while they're out at sea. And so far we have over 12,000 fish measured, which is filling like a pretty big data gap. And, we're just so proud of it now.
Sure.
And it's really well established, and it's no longer obviously a pilot program. It's a fully functioning program that's administered and run by SAC. So it's a SAC program, but it has the approval and by NOAA, the IATTC, various groups. So
CDFW.
Also. So we're really proud of it.
So and what are you trying to accomplish with these measuring programs for the tuna?
So with the tuna program, we're doing we're measuring the length of all the fish,
right?
And then that is provided to managers to use and hopefully in stock assessments and things like that.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, so this is just...
So that we can keep catching them and prove that there's still a good stock available.
Still viable.
Yeah, better understand, what we have, what we're working with and our impact and to best understand.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the most important pieces of information you can have in understanding the health of a stock is size structure and age structure of the fish that you're catching. And that's what this program provides, so it can get fed directly into stock assessments and we can have a better understanding of the health of the fishery.
Oh.
And to have the fleet collecting the data and to have that program be vetted by the federal government and by the state is unprecedented. I don't know of any other program in the country that
accomplishes
that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And the budget is roughly, it costs about...
It's about $50,000 a year. And if you had... no researchers doing the same kind of work, it would be
costing way more.
Like millions.
I don't know if it would be millions, but it'd be more.
But if you'd need boats and...
Yeah, much more, right? You're talking the operation to go do it, where already the sport fleet is, quote-unquote, the operation.
They're already doing it, and that $50,000 a year goes directly to the fleet.
Yeah, all of that. So I think it's almost, it's $50,000 a year for 7 years now we've handed out the money, and every dollar goes to the crew members. So they all get an incentive to help out and measure the fish. And so that money just goes right into their pockets, which
that's
is amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
And in turn saves a ton of money to get this data.
Yep. So we get better understanding of the health of the stocks, more timely information so we can manage quicker. The fleet gets the incentive and the money and the benefit of participating in the science and
understanding
it's just a win-win.
It. Yeah. Fantastic. So, Lyle, now you work for. Wait a minute.
I got. He's got. Ryan.
He's got a
title.
Great title here. He is senior fisheries scientist for the Nature Conservancy. How about that? Huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge, man.
I've been with the Nature Conservancy for a little over 5 years now. I'm still based at Scripps Institution of Oceanography in La Jolla. But yeah, I've been working with TNC for 5 years, focusing on a ton of different projects. I think last time I was in here, we talked a little bit about the swordfish work that we were doing with the pier guys and the tagging that we've been doing with swordfish. Lately, we've been working more on a lot of the work is focused on commercial fisheries like incidental entanglement of whales in the Dungeness fishery up in Central California and trying to reduce the impacts of that. And there's been a ton of progress in that space working with multiple agencies. We're getting some new sharks work kicked off the ground now, testing artificial baits in commercial gear for sharks to reduce shark bycatch, because right now sharks, particularly in the North Pacific, have been hit pretty hard across a number of species. Shark abundance over the last 50 years is down, I think, 68-70%.
Wow.
But you say in the Northwest, and my question is, like, what type of fishery are encountering the sharks?
Yeah, so right now we're testing new gears in longline fisheries off Hawaii, but there are other fisheries that could be looked into.
Drift gill nets.
Yeah, lots of species that are caught by a number of different fisheries. Yeah. So right now we're still kind of scoping it, but the idea is that if you can use artificial baits on long lines and still catch target species without catching the sharks that you don't really want in the first place, then it's a win-win for everybody.
And really, outside of the shark thing, you mentioned swordfish, and since you were in here last, I mean, the swordfish commercial fishery has taken a turn for, like, the positive.
Yeah.
I mean, they've increased their catches and what they're doing, like the deep drop kind of thing.
The deep set buoy gear has been working really, really well.
With extremely minimal bycatch.
That's a project that we're just about to publish right now, is the gear performance of the standard and the linked configurations of the deep set buoy gear. We're showing almost complete swordfish catch and virtually no bycatch other species.
Unbelievable.
They're
unprecedented.
It's a huge success.
And everybody's happy because the deep set buoy gear guys are catching more and more success and getting a better product to the market too.
Yep.
And the bycatch is like you say, virtually
minimal.
Zero.
Yeah. And they're catching OPA at the same time, which are also marketable.
Okay,
marketable. And what that does is it eliminated the offshore gill netting, which, I mean, it's kind of,
it's
minimizing
it.
It's
been a complex process, but yeah.
It's minimizing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, in addition, it created this amazing deep drop swordfish sport fishing.
And that's another paper that we're
all
publishing.
All of a sudden, all these sport fishing guys like me and a lot of people in Southern California, it's like,
Wish
hey, we could go catch one of these things, right?
Yep.
And successfully.
We just had a paper accepted the other day documenting that the emergence of that whole new fishery. So recreational deep drop. You can do it for other species, like people do it for sablefish in some parts of the world, like up in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
But for swordfish down here, well, swordfish has been going on in Florida for a while, New Zealand, a couple other places. But for SoCal, it's relatively new.
Really?
It's an emerging fishery here. And since 2019, catches have been through the roof compared to the last century of recreational fishing. It's incredible.
Much more success than straight surface rod and reel type.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so what are the current projects you guys are working on? Elena?
Well, because we keep catching tuna. Normally the tuna.
Oh, darn. Keep catching tuna,
The tuna stuff normally wrapped up at the end of the summer kind of thing. So that's kind of trickling along. But we're looking into potentially expanding it out to nearshore species, which is really, really awesome and really exciting. We've had such success with the tuna measuring that we're still in talks, and this is all just a hopeful. But would be looking at other species nearshore,
like
species.
Such as what would be a nearshore species that would you look at?
Like
white sea bass,
nearshore rockfish,
everything.
Yeah.
And would be sort of the same idea. utilizing the fleet, the CPFE fleet, and collecting that data to fill critical data gaps and then to hand that off to managers to do, you know, more informed management and to hopefully utilize in stock assessments so we can have a true understanding of what's going on.
Cool.
And so that would be really awesome. That would be another joint collaborative project between SAC and various, you know, management groups and things like that. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of collaborative management, collaborative projects, collaborative research. It's really what I've seen us kind of like move mountains with.
Sure.
And I know Lyle feels the same way.
And that inshore thing would be something that would take advantage of in the entire SAC fleet up and down the Pacific coast.
Exactly. Yeah, ideally they wanted to do the whole, to look at the entire California coast. So our work is, you know, SAC is Southern California, sort of like Ventura South, to the border. But this would include hopefully all of California.
Sure.
And like with the tuna, we just do lengths right now. We've done some weight measurement too in the past, but this would include potentially otoliths, so we can look at age, gonads, so some biological data, which would be really cool too. So I'm really hopeful that will happen in the next maybe year or so.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Working on the funding right now.
You're talking about looking at the otoliths, which are the
ear stones.
The ear stones like people collect out of the white sea bass and stuff. But those are actually, what a lot of people don't realize is those are like looking at the rings of a tree.
Yeah.
Like you can actually.
And all fish have them.
Yeah, right.
Not just white sea bass. People don't realize that. But white sea bass have really big ones.
Yes.
But all fish.
Rockfish have them. Yep. The bass have them.
Tuna?
Yep. Yep, tuna have really small otoliths. Uh-huh. They're really difficult to find when you open them up. But different species have different sort of like otolith to body size ratio. And croakers are
larger.
Known for really large otoliths. Tuna is much smaller. But you can look in calicos. You can find otoliths. All species.
So my question is, with that and being able to see the tree rings, can you determine, like 3 years ago was a healthier cycle? Is there like a healthier ring in the otoliths?
That's a really good question. So the otoliths are basically, when they grow, they're laid down
layers
in bands, and annually the layers tighten up in the wintertime when the fish when the growth slows down, and then in the spring and summer when growth speeds up, those layers spread apart, and that's what causes the banding, and that's what causes the growth rings that you see there. But I've never looked at like the width of those rings to infer growth rates over the past from. I'm sure they've published that
over healthier cycles.
To look at when they grew faster and slower within. You know, within seasons.
Yeah, you could be like, that's an El Nino year right there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I bet you could. I'm sure it's been done. I haven't looked into that literature.
I get kind of geeked out on it.
Yeah.
I love the inshore, and I love fishing, and with you two being biologists. And one of the big things you were involved with, Lyle, was something near and dear to my heart, was the bass
tagging thing.
Yeah, that was a really cool, some of the work that came out of that. I mean,
that was phenomenal.
To know that the calicos don't move more than a quarter of a mile,
or less. Like sometimes a quarter of a kilometer. I mean, they don't move far at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you being Canadian. Kilometers.
Aren't you proud?
Yeah. I mean, most of the fish are caught within a few hundred yards of where they were tagged. I'll say
that. Yeah.
But a handful did travel really far, 50, 60, 70 miles.
Really?
A handful of them did.
Really? That in kilometers?
Oh, gosh.
Right?
He's still American.
Right?
As you can hear, we have a great show for you today. We want to definitely investigate more of that, all the tagging programs and what it showed Lyle and everybody else about what happened here and the growth rates and such like that. I know Corey's really wants to quiz about that for sure.
So much to cover.
Yeah. Great show today, right, Corey?
Yeah, we really do. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we want you to participate. The telephone number, talk to Lyle or Elena here, is 213-432-1090. And text the show, too. You do that via the app. Just if you haven't done so, download the app. And there's a text the show option. It's a one-way deal. So when you text us, make sure that you do leave your contact info, which is your name and telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're going to be giving away a prize, and we're going to flip a coin. It's going to go between the texters and the callers. And
this is a really cool prize. Ted from Gamakatsu, we're going to hear from him later on, talking about some of the new product that Gamakatsu is coming out and the big sale on Gamakatsu hooks at Fisherman's Landing Tackle today. But describe that bag we're giving away. This is a really cool bag.
Super crazy. Do they have them at the shop?
No, not yet. They're brand new. They just came out.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much here. It's kind of crazy, right? It's a G bag, a 5,000 tackle bag, features an extra wide mouth opening, can fit up to 5 Gamakatsu G box 3700 size or 8 3600 size boxes. I mean, that's a big tackle bag.
It's a nice tackle
bag. Like legitimate.
Right. Yeah, the real deal.
That's really neat. It's a durable denier. Polyester construction, water and slip resistant, EVA molded base, $150 value.
Yeah, it's $150.
That's pretty darn cool.
We're
going
to give that away to a caller or a texter. It's the magic coin at the end of the show that we're going to let Elena flip and see who it is, right?
So again, text us via the app or give us a shout at 213-432-1090 if you want to talk to Lyle or Elena. We're going to be right back on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all 5 species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly out trip to Brooks Falls and Katmai National Park for world renowned bear watching, and check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
This is Brandon Hayward with Bite Sport Fishing, here to talk about Parker Boats and the crew at West Coast Marine. In the spring of 2013, I bought my first Parker. When it came time to rebrand from one-man charters to Bite Sport Fishing and add to my fleet and start running out of Davies Locker in Newport Beach and Fisherman's Landing this summer season, I chose a Parker. When clients ask why I chose Parker, I always say, I could have had any boat, but my 2320 is perfect for my white sea bass, offshore, and lobster program. Almost 6,000 hours on my 2320 pilot house over the past 6 seasons has shown me that Parker is the ultimate West Coast charter boat. It's what customers expect. These stout workhorses offer everything anglers need, as in a stable platform with huge deck space for our West Coast style of live bait fishing. Parker's a big reason why I run more charters than any other small boat operation in Southern California. I like my 2320 so much that I bought another one. And while you never know what's going to happen with fishing, I know it won't be my last Parker I buy from West Coast Marine. If fishing isn't something you do, but who you are, then Parker's for you, be it a one-day charter or a lifetime of ownership. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to go see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine. Check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
As the inventor and world leader in fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered with 4-liter choices to help you catch more fish. Gold Label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with high break strength and softness. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions. From 2 pounds to 400 pounds, pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
When you want to catch big bluefin tuna, you need Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The Shimano Beastmaster is the pinnacle of electric reels. Shimano's Gigamax motor packs a winding strength up to 250 pounds, ideal for kite fishing and more. Shimano's butterfly flat fall jigs are irresistible to bluefin tuna because they stay in the strike zone longer. Shimano makes a complete line of butterfly flat fall jigs to target your favorite game fish. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, all this fish talk is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, well, before we move on back to Lyle and Elena, I have sad news. Our dear friend Kevin Kelly passed away this past week. Yeah, you just heard about Parker Boats and West Coast Marine. He was the face and the name behind West Coast Marine, and I know he interacted with you, Corey.
Yeah,
I bought a couple of boats from Kevin. I mean, there was never a guy in the boat selling business that was kinder and more fair than Kevin.
Yeah, just an honest, wanted you to leave his shop, like...
Yeah, win-win for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he was just like, he was like a, he's like part of everybody's family that bought a Parker from him.
What's going to happen with West Coast now?
Well, his son, Chase, is there, or he runs the Yamaha dealership.
Going to carry the legacy.
There. Yeah, and I'm sure the family will carry the legacy. I don't know for sure, but, and then of course they have the San Diego location that they run down here too, that's all part of that too. So West Coast Marine will still go on.
Marching on.
Parker dealer, Yamaha outboards, of course, but Kevin was just like, he was the guy at the show that you always saw the face of when you went up to the Parker boats and you googled at that Parker boat and just saw Kevin, and he was always there. It's like, what can I help you with? You know, what he was just that guy that outfitted the boat to a T. In all week long, people were talking about how Kevin touched them and made their dreams come true, basically, with their boat. And that's what he did.
A good-hearted guy.
And you will never... I don't think you will ever hear anybody say anything, well, that guy at West Coast Marine didn't do me right. No, Kevin always did people right, and if they felt that way, he always made sure that he didn't. But very, very sad news, the loss of a great guy, Kevin Kelly. I mean, remember when he used to bring Lucy, his dog, into the studio here?
And, his companion lab.
Right there, for sure, so... Big loss there of the industry, Kevin Kelly from West Coast Marine. Another sad loss, of course, is the report of the cancellation of the Fred Hall show this year. I'm not sure that everybody heard, but the Fred Hall show that was supposed to be the first week in March was canceled. The management company is saying that it's because of COVID restrictions in L.A. County. In L.A. County, you still have to wear a mask indoors, and you still have to show a negative, and the Long Beach Convention Center required either a negative COVID test at the door or a proof of vaccination, and the management just felt that attendance would be seriously impaired by that, and they decided a week and a half out, basically, to cancel the show.
Sad news,
yeah,
right?
Very sad news.
So, sad news for the vendor, news for Fred Hall.
Yeah.
Just what do you do?
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. But the other interesting thing is Pacific Coast Sport Fishing yesterday announced that their new dates, because of the success of their show this year, their new dates will be the beginning of March, the first week of March, and they're extending from a 3-day show to a 4-day show. Congratulations to Bill on his success. And so the show season will march on. But in the interim, today is a big show at Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
I couldn't believe all the people were
already.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we came in, it was like, it was. Did you see it, Elena?
Yeah,
there was already a lot of people in there, and they're taking advantage of phenomenal. Ricky's going to call in later in the show and tell us about how it's going and some of the deals, if he can break away.
I was down there last night and loaded them up and saw Sean from Fisherman's Processing setting up.
Oh, is Sean down there? Yeah.
You know what I wanted to go check out today is the, I'm kind of a geek about fish handling, Pete. And you were talking about, I know, it's right? Like, I like to just treat, even if it's a rockfish, I just want to treat it right, you know? And Robbie. I want to go check out Robbie with the...
the Ikejimo. Yeah. Is that how you say it? Ikejimi?
Where you run the wire up there.
Yeah, where you run the wire up there.
I'm glad we have Lyle here.
Yeah.
I want to go check that out.
Yeah,
that's,
for sure.
That's
he's going to be doing that. And Steve Carson will be down there talking about the five absolute must rigs when you go tuna fishing. So
I
saw Steve. Steve was already warming up over there yesterday, so saw him for sure. So in the meantime, phones are packing up. You want to get through, have a chance to win that great Gamakatsu bag. Again, 213-432-1090. Christian standing by to take your phone calls. We have one line open right now. Let's jump into it.
Let's do it. How about Roy? Roy in Lakeside. Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Roy.
Hi. I was just wondering your guys' opinion on spot limits. My brother recently moved down to Louisiana and was explaining to me how they work down there and, you know, with our calico bass fishery here and what your guys' opinion would be on that.
It's a good question.
Very great question.
Great question. I'm a huge fan of slot limits for lots of species, including calicos. You know, it gives you a chance to protect them until they get old enough to spawn, and gives them a chance to spawn for a couple of years up front, and then, you know, you can catch them for a certain period, and then it protects the largest size classes, which produce the highest quality eggs and the most eggs. So, reproductively speaking, it's a really smart way to go. Depending on the species, we have slot limits for white sturgeon. Not sure what other species.
Not too many, right?
Yeah.
Why does California? Because almost every state there's a slot limit for, whether it's for largemouth or walleye or northerns or muskie or
different
or saltwater, you know, redfish and snook and
I think different states manage fisheries, and this is true for hunting too. They manage for quality or for opportunity or a combination of both. And slot limits are more of a sort of a quality focused management option, but if you want to go the opportunity option, you just do a minimum size limit. That way you're still doing a reasonable amount protecting the species while they spawn.
You're still protecting the resource.
For a couple of years up front. But if you really want to manage for quality as best you can, I would go for a slot limit. Maybe one day they'll do it. I don't know. It's been in discussions many times over the years.
I found there seems to be a lot of support for it.
There is.
Across the industry whenever it does come up, which isn't very often. I feel like there's a pretty overwhelming amount of support.
I've never talked to anybody that wouldn't support it, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it comes down to dollars and research, and you have to prove through research that it's effective or going to be non-detrimental to existing stocks. Am I saying it right?
I think so, yeah. And they'll probably want to see a demonstration of what the landings impacts might be if you implemented, say, a slot limit from 14 to 18 inches, for example. Like, how many fewer fish would you catch by having to release everything over 18 inches?
Yeah,
probably not a lot.
How many pounds is an 18-inch calico?
Oh gosh, you guys would know better.
6 pounds, something like that.
No, I think 18 inches is more like several pounds. Yeah, but I think it'd be better in that 4.5 to 5 pound range, which I'm guessing.
So maybe 20 inches, something like that.
Yeah, close. Mm-hmm. Yeah, closer. Yeah, 19, 20. Uh-huh. I'm guessing.
But and what's your thoughts on the 14-inch size limit?
Fantastic.
It's really done a lot for the fishery.
It has effectively doubled the reproductive potential of the entire population. So the size limit used to be 12 inches. That gave them a couple of years of time to spawn, and by increasing it to 14 inches, that doubled the time period that they had to spawn, which effectively, just back of the envelope, doubles the spawning potential of the population, which is great. The fleet did take a hit for about 3 years waiting for those 12-inch fish to become 14 inches, and so that's the give and take that you have to consider when you're increasing size limits. There will be a short-term hit, but the long-term benefits can be amazing.
Huge. I think it's so cool because in that time frame, like right now, we could go out and fish Point Loma or La Jolla, or you could fish Palos Verdes, wherever you're at, and there's so many like 13 to 15-inch fish. I'll catch those all day long, and it's not uncommon to have a 50, 60 fish day.
Yeah.
Just having a great time catching and releasing,
you know? And for the people who want to take them home, to take home a 14-inch fish instead of a 12-inch fish is night and day.
I said this on the radio show many a times. Mm-hmm. Like, your 5-fish limit of 14-inch fish is much more in weight than 10, 12 inches, like by far.
No question.
Yeah.
And that's a good easing size.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Hey, good question. Thanks a lot for getting us started. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Hey, let's find out what's biting down in the Baja with a cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours. Corey?
I know it. It's sponsored by Dana Lanny on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything you need to go fishing. Complete saltwater tackle shop, full deli, snacks, beverages, ice, boating supplies, and when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle. And the new Lemon Grow Bait and Tackle, full of freshwater tackle and live bait for your great day at the lake. Dana Landing right across from SeaWorld next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Or East County Bait and Tackle at the end of the 67 Freeway, Mapleview Lakeside. And the new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle in Broadway and Lemon Grove. Check DanaLanding.com.
All great places there. And good morning, Castman. Welcome back from Colombia.
Yes. Yes, I'm back. And if you notice, my voice is a lot more deeper, more masculine. I just passed through puberty, so I'm doing okay.
You're excelente, amigo.
Yeah. But
I think.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, the Columbia trip was awesome. I've never seen so many big peacocks caught on any one of our trips, even the Brazil trips. I mean, we had them 22, 20, a couple of 20s, 18, 16s. I mean, there was just a slew of big fish. Also, some really nice paiara, you know, the vampire fish, the big fangs on them. Had some 18-pounders there that were caught. And then, of course, a variety of other fish that we're catching down there, you know, the catfish and of course, the piranha. But awesome trip, good group of guys. Half the guys were from San Diego, and we had two guys from Texas, and had Dr. Clayton and his son come down from the Santa Barbara area. And like I said, it was just a great, great, great trip and just some fabulous fishing. And I've got the last week in January of 2023 is going to be our next trip down there. So you guys want to fish peacock bass, let me tell you, and half the price what it costs to go to Brazil. And you've got this, it's a heck of a trip. But keep in mind, it's not a Hilton. It's a little, what's the word? I guess Spartan is the word that I'm looking for. But it's comfortable. You got all the amenities there. It's not going to be a Hilton. Anyway, as far as the fishing goes in Southern Baja, I talked with our charter master there in Laredo, Danny Talamantes, and he said the last month and a half has just been fabulous for yellowtail. They're really hanging up there at San Bruno. Some nice quality fish, 20, 25 pounds, and it's just been really, really good. Of course, the only problem this time of year is those north winds are blowing, and it's sometimes you're not able to get out, the winds are so strong, but when they do get out, they are nailing the yellowtail. And of course, along with the yellowtail, you've got cabrilla and pargo and basically the other fish, the pinto bass. Moving down into Southern Baja, San Jose del Cabo area, Baja Bob Lewis down there from La Playita reporting here again, north winds are reaching all the way down there. But when they do get out, there's still plenty of wahoo around. Nothing really big, but there are wahoo. Dorado bite, really good Dorado bite, 15, 16, 17, 18 pounds kind of on the average. Few tuna were caught, 40, 50 pounds up in the Iman Bank area. And, of course, lots of striped marlin. He was commenting, he saw a video where one boat had three marlin hooked up at the same time. And, you know, that's pretty exciting when you got lines jumping over each other and guys screaming and all that other stuff with the striped marlin. Of course, 90-some percent of those marlin are being released, which is good. That keeps that population nice and big. But anyway, that's the report for this week, Pete. Just a reminder, we have our Let's Talk Hook Up Pesca Panama trip the end of April, and that trip is full, but I've already booked for next April for 2023. You want to go down and fish Pesca Panama for those big yellowfin tuna down there. And also our Loretto Rumble, May 1 to 5, Let's Talk Hook Up.
Looking forward to that.
That sold out. Yep, sold out. Can't wait for that trip, man. You know, those yellowtail are so much fun.
Wait a minute. Now, Castman, are you going to Pesca Panama and then Loretto?
Yeah, I get back on April 30th from Panama, and then the 1st I fly down to Loretto. Oh, so it's going to be...
You're an animal.
I got to prepack everything before I leave for Panama. So.
You're amazing. Don't miss that flight. We need you down there.
Hey, right. Well, you'll take over.
Yeah. Well, hey, in the meantime, if somebody wants to get down anywhere that Cast Tours send you, which is a lot of places, how do we do that?
800-593-6510 or on the web at CastTours.com, and I'll talk to you boys next Saturday.
Talk to you next Saturday, Cast Man. You'll have to. I don't know if you can top that trip to Colombia.
I know it, man. All those Payara. Really cool. Those Payara are a fish of a lifetime for a lot of people.
Oh, how about a 20-pound peacock, man? Nice. Those are awesome.
Yellow.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Cast Man. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate that very much. Hey, we have a great text here, a very interesting one from Jim. And he says, is there a biological explanation for albacore not being around and the emergence of the bluefin tuna in recent years?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's like...
There's a lot to unpack in that question.
Right? Yeah. It sounds so simple, doesn't it?
I know. Albacore abundance everywhere along the coast is largely a function of oceanographic conditions, which vary over space and time. Well, as you guys know, we haven't seen albacore in what? A long,
like,
I mean,
15 years?
At least.
20 years?
Yeah. Probably close to 20 years now.
Yeah.
For the most part, we see them in Central California and northward all the way up to BC. And just in those weird oceanographic years, they make it down to Southern California, and we just haven't seen those kinds of conditions, largely because a big chunk of that time, the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've had a marine heat wave followed by an El Nino, a lot of warm water that albacore don't really associate with. They're more in that 62 to 64 temp that you'll find bluefin in. Although the bluefin have gone gangbusters here, obviously, for the last 6 or 7 years during that same period. Albacore are just a little cooler water species, a little distributed a little bit farther north. I'm sure we'll see them again.
Could it happen this year? Colder water year, a lot of anchovy around?
Totally could happen.
Yeah. You just don't know until you catch them, right?
Yeah. Predicting oceanographic conditions is really, really difficult.
And their migration is really unusual in the fact that they're traveling literally across the Pacific continually.
Yep.
I mean, their cycle brings them over, but then they go all the way back across, and imagine doing that in just 1 year.
Exactly. Japan to West Coast of the U.S. back and forth. Yeah.
And the same with bluefin, too, right?
Yeah, the fleet. We get every year a few tags from Japan.
Where the fish have been tagged in Japan.
Yeah. So the fish will be caught on the party boats here, and they'll catch a bluefin with a tag, and it'll have the name of the Japanese
the information.
Lab. And so we send that over to NOAA, and they have contacts in Japan.
Wow.
So we can let the angler know where in Japan that fish was released and tagged and how big it was, so we know exactly how long it took to get over here.
Oh, cool.
Pretty amazing, crossing the entire ocean there.
Yeah, right. And they're like one.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's now, what about yellowfin? What are you seeing as far as migration from yellowfin?
Good question.
Yeah.
I'm not too familiar with the yellowfin.
Are they pretty much just up and down the Pacific coast?
Yeah. I don't think you see them traveling. I don't think we have information about them traveling across the entire Pacific the way bluefin or albacore do.
Or big eye. Big eye are the ones.
Yeah. The most recent yellowfin stock assessment showed the population was down a bit, but it's been a while since I looked at that. I'd have to look back.
Sure. All right. Hey, thanks for the text. Appreciate that.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hook Up. We're going to have more from Lyle and Elaine, all this cool fisheries, biologist stuff. I love it. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, guys. This is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and Beatty Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online. Online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market, and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
All right. Hey, it's time to talk about great stuff from Shimano. And, we're talking calico bass, and Lyle and Elaine are near to dear to their heart. Let's talk about tranks if you want to catch them. Is there a better reel to catch calico bass than a Shimano tranks?
Buttery smooth, and there's no better place to get one today than at Fishman's Landing.
Yeah.
I bet you a little bit of deal going down.
They have.
Some Power Pro on the side with that.
You know, all the reels today, free fill of,
I heard
of Power Pro.
I know it.
If you want. So buy it. Like 200 has become one of my favorite reels.
It is.
Trank 200.
And I'll tell you what, I love that even for rock fishing.
Pete. Yes.
Listen.
You turned me on to that.
The rockfish season opener is coming up this week. A Tranks 200 with 20-pound Power Pro, or 30-pound if you want to go on the heavier side.
You can use Max Quattro, like 30 or 40.
Absolutely.
Or
I use about a 60-foot leader of monofilament, maybe in the 20-pound range.
Plenty of line to fish down to 250, something like that.
Fish your 2-ounce Colt Sniper.
How fun is that?
I'm telling you.
And it's got the power. That's the thing about Tranks, whether it be the two. The new 150 is just coming out, too.
What?
Yeah, it's just coming out. But the 200, the 300, the 400, the 500, all of them have just incredible power. Shimano Tranks at your local Shimano dealer. And, of course, you can get a discount today at Fisherman's Landing Tackle.
I'm on it.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Ladanero.
The ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all those miles of beachfront, the lapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Ladanero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pagas. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLandNarrow.com. It's unique.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you, or learn more at AFCO.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having so much fun. We do have one open line with Lyle and Lena in studio here. One open line at 213-432-1090, giving away this killer Gamakatsu $150 value here, the G bag, and it's really huge.
A cool bag, just brand new from Gamakatsu. It's a really cool bag, big wide mouth, so you can get all your stuff in there. You put the G boxes in there. It's a really, really nice piece.
All I know is one lucky texter or caller is gonna be enjoying that.
Yeah, fantastic. Bart Paul's on the line. Good morning, Bart.
Morning, Bart.
Pete,
morning,
Bart. Corey. Good morning, Elena. And who's the other guy?
Right. Lyle, that worked for you for many, many years. Remember him?
Hey, Bart.
Well, you know, I have a really important question, Lyle. You know, a lot of stuff's going on, a lot of stuff being announced. I, unfortunately, because I'm in a lawsuit, can't talk. But in a few days, I will. And so this is very important. When our shows return in 2023, can you work the crop pod for me?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
I will announce publicly here and now. I will be at the trout pond by your
You're
side.
You're a trout
Bart.
Man. Okay.
Well, you know, Lyle, I've known him since he was 14 years old, I think. Isn't that it?
Wow.
Lyle, about 14.
He's actually 12.
And,
12?
12,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Child don't tell the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bart, you're going to get
labor
in trouble here.
I know. But, you know, to watch the evolution, to watch him go through this, and then, of course, the best thing that happened to him was Elena. But that... I feel like a dad. I'm just proud of him. He's a great guy. He's done so much for fishermen. He's a scientist who fishes. My God, what a concept.
Yeah.
The Hall family is my other family, and Bart is my other dad.
Oh,
really,
man.
Now, did you hear his title, Bart? Senior Fisheries Scientist
of
the Nature
did.
Conservancy? That's like, he's big time, huh? Look what you've done.
Well, I was in his office. It's a beautiful office. But, Pete, I also want to say one thing. I want to give my condolences to the Kelly family.
Yes.
You know, over the 40 or 50 years I've been doing this, I've dealt with lots of boat dealers, and there was never anyone better than Kevin. So
not even in the same league, right?
No, he's a wonderful man. Just wonderful.
Yeah, we're going to really miss that guy and his smiling face and his kindness and generosity. Oh, my gosh. It's just like it's a huge loss for the industry for sure.
That is.
No doubt.
Well, in a few days, I might be able to say something. I never know, but pretty close. And so,
all right, Bart. Well, we'll be
we
hoping
look forward
for
to
you.
Seeing you.
All right. Well, great talking to you, and thanks for calling in. And
see you, Bart.
I know Lyle is happy to hear from you for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it, Bart. Thanks for calling. All right.
Bye, guys.
I've got kind of a cool text.
Tell me.
That goes in line with this whole thing. And Lyle, it's this is actually from Harry in Chula Vista. And he says, Lyle, went with you a few times on your tagging expeditions, and you are a true gentleman. And those trips are the highlight of my bass fishing memories. Learned the best techniques on your tagging trips, and kudos to you and your service to the community. Just you wanted to give a shout out to you.
That's really, really nice. Yeah. I think I know who that was. He's really wonderful.
And that was cool. You did these tagging programs, and you take our listeners, just regular fishing guys out there to help you do the tagging, right?
They came out for free. The sport boat got the charter funds, and the scientists got the research done. Everyone had just such a wonderful time on those trips. And now it's part of the California Collaborative Fisheries Research Program, CCFRP, which is now, it's no longer just our tagging project that we were doing out of Scripps. It's statewide, so there's 6 universities involved.
Whoa.
Between here and Humboldt, 14 sport fishing landings, 25 sport boats, I think. Yeah.
Really?
In the last 5 years, we've done 300 tagging charters, which is about $700,000 straight to the fleet.
Wow.
And in the whole history of CCFRP, before we involved, it was close to double that. I think it's 600 charters, which is ballpark $1.2 million just in charter funds, and 50 or 60,000 fish
tagged
and measured and tagged.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow.
I was fortunate enough to catch one.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You caught a tagged fish?
And here's the funniest thing of them all. I only caught one, but I could tell you of about 5 others that I watched peel out of the kelp and race to the weedless and not hook them, and I saw the tag.
Yeah, you see the tags.
Yeah, the yellow tag screaming across the surface.
So is the tagging program still active then?
Yeah, it's absolutely still active.
So you're still doing it?
Yep, Scripps is now part of this statewide program, CCFRP. You can look them up on Facebook. You can look them up on their direct website. You can still go out on these trips for free. You just sign up through the program website or their Facebook page, I think. I can't remember. And it's still going strong. They're going out every summer. They do about a dozen trips out of San Diego every year.
Wow, okay. Cool. Now, where are the fish being caught?
Mostly Point Loma and La Jolla here. The next institution north is UC Santa Barbara, so they're running trips out to the Channel Islands.
So most of the fish that are tagged here are staying here.
Yes.
You're not the Dana Wharf sport fishing guys aren't catching the fish tagged down here.
Very rare records of that for the, like, you know, 99% of the fish that are recaptured are recaptured here in San Diego.
So is it still possible to catch a tagged fish here?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that many fish out there. Yes.
Yeah. We're still getting tag reports. Not daily, but weekly, I would say.
And what happens when you catch tag fish? What do you want to do?
We would love for the fisherman or woman to record where they caught it, when they caught it, ideally what size it was, so we can learn how fast it grew, and whether or not they kept it and released it, and whether or not if they released it, did they leave the tag in the fish so it could stay tagged and swing around, or did they keep the tag? Just, you know, basic information like that helps us know how far the fish traveled, how much it grew, is the fish still tagged swimming around or not, all that.
Yeah. So if you catch a tagged fish and you want to release it, what should you do?
Call the number on the tag, and that goes.
And are you better off leaving that tag in there?
Yeah. So the best thing
preferably to leave the tag in.
Best thing to do is release the fish and leave the tag in the fish.
But record the tag number, the measurements.
Yep.
How big the fish was lengthwise?
Yep, lengthwise.
Girthwise?
Just length is
fine.
Just
length is all you need.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then record the tag. There's a number on the tag.
There's an ID number and a phone number.
And a phone number.
Yep.
So just record that and then leave the tag in it and let it go.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to keep it, that's totally okay. It's up to you.
And what we did, we released the fish, but we were able to take a picture. I mean, everybody has a cell phone, right? We took a picture of everything. And
That's cool. Awesome.
And that really, and what is that? Is, okay, being a scientist, is it data or data?
It depends on who you are.
Right?
How do you say it in Canada?
Data.
Okay. Thank you. I say data. Yeah. Is that data, what does that do for you guys?
It gets integrated into a database that now has thousands and thousands of recaptures recorded, and we look across all those thousands of recaptures across species, across regions, and we can understand movement patterns, growth rates, and mortality rates of these species, which is all really important going back into the stock assessments that Elena mentioned that help us understand the status of the stock.
And here's a quick one, too. Chuck wants to know via text on the app, where are the tags in the bass? Where are they placed?
Oh, right next to the dorsal fin and the dorsal musculature of the fish. Sometimes, sometimes they're covered in algae. You get a little bit of algae growth, and so it looks like a little piece of kelp hanging on the fish, and you just kind of have to scrape off the algae with your thumbnail.
Okay.
And then you'll
see it
underneath.
Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. Well, let's jump into the phones, Corey.
We need to, man. They are packed up. Yeah. They're actually full. Talk to Don. Don calling from Woodland Hills. Good morning, Don. Welcome to the Stock Hookup.
Good morning, everybody. Pete, love it when you bring the scientists in. Learn a lot about fishing that a lot of us don't know about.
Yes, for sure.
So, Elena and Lyle, it's always a pleasure listening to you, and thank you for what you do. You pretty much talked about stock assessments on bluefin, yellowfin. So my second question was going to be descending devices. How has the sport fishing fleet accepted and using descending devices for rockfish?
So when I was hired in 2013, all of the party boats already had descending devices on them. So I know Lyle had been involved in some of the science, I think a few years before that, they collaborated with NOAA to look at the post-release mortality rates of various species. And SAC was very supportive of this, obviously, and a lot of the work was done on party boats, SAC party boats. And so as a result, we received, I think it was like a number of grants and a number of the descending devices and handed them out to every single party boat with some training and set them all up so it was easy for them to use. And then every year, Ken and I would do a trip throughout Southern California and visit all the different landings. And amongst other topics, it would always be a reminder to, you know, do you need a new descending device? And if so, you know, here you go. And how do you use them? And just ensuring that everyone is using them.
Do they work?
They work very, very well. Yeah. And there's a tremendous amount of science to support how well they work.
So, I wonder if it'll ever come. I'm sorry, Pete. I wonder if it'll ever come for a private boater. You know, I mean, it's by law, we're supposed to all have a landing net.
Yep.
I wonder if eventually it'll be a descending device, because that's truly...
It could be. I mean, it's already law.
It's law in Oregon and Washington. And then in 2016-17, we actually went up to British Columbia and gave a talk up there. And they had never heard of descending devices. It was kind
You're
of
kidding.
Crazy. So they have a bit of an issue with yellow eye, kind of analogous to what was going on with Calcod here.
Sure.
And so we went up there and presented, and they kind of like their eyes were so wide that there was a solution to help descend their yellow eye and things like that. So they've actually made it law there too.
Good.
So California, it's not law here, but
I think it should be encouraged.
Be.
Yeah, I think not that I'm for any laws, but this type of law would help the future of that fishery and open up more opportunity. Like they just reduced the vermilion numbers from 5 to 4.
Yep.
If we started descending the young ones, maybe we get that back up to 5 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a total no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a total no-brainer. And there is support. It's just, the more we talk about them, I think the better.
Yeah, and they work. I have 2 of them on my boat.
Yeah.
You never know when you can lose one. So.
Yeah, they work great. Post-release survivorship, depending on the species, can be really high. Boccaccio survivorship is close to 90%.
Is that right?
I think it's like 92%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It's impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, hey, stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Boys. We're going to come back. Fish reports, your calls, and more when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. No downtime. This is migrating salmon going through our fishing grounds. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Our trips are 5 days, 4 nights. Custom fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. We are booking for 2022 now, and the trips are filling up quickly. So give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
The fishing season is fast approaching, and it's time to get your gear in order. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. If you have been following us on Instagram, you know that we have been loading up on tackle. Fishing gear will be very difficult to get this year, so make sure to take advantage of our huge inventory by coming to our preseason tackle sale Saturday and Sunday, February 26th and 27th. We will not attend any trade shows this spring, so this is your golden opportunity to get incredible deals on everything you need to fish this summer. We will be discounting all the big names. Shop for rods, reels, jigs, hooks, fluorocarbon, clothing, tackle bags, terminal tackle, and much more. And as always, we will have raffles during both days to benefit Rollo. Follow us on Instagram to get updates on all the deals. That's Fisherman's Landing Tackle's huge spring sale, Saturday and Sunday, February 26th and 27th. We'll see you at the landing.
The President's Day Sell-A-Thon is on at your San Diego County Ford dealers. New inventory is arriving daily, and they have great deals across the Ford lineup. Plus, save big when you custom order some of the most popular Ford vehicles. That's right, deals on custom orders, so you can get exactly what you want from your new Ford. Need a legendary Ford F-150? They'll help you build and order the exact truck of your dreams. Ford Ranger? Get it built for you, by you, or order the all-new Ford Bronco Sport. But President's Day Sell-A-Thon won't last long. Check out these deals today. We want your trade, so swing by your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer or visit buyfordnow.com to see these President's Day deals. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, Gulloan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.